Hello, race fans. Welcome to a new edition of the USF Pro Insider. My name is Rob Howden. It is April the 22nd, and we are rolling in here for episode number 59. Coming up this weekend, not really the weekend, Thursday and Friday, will be the next rounds of the USF Junior Series, the opening step of the USF Pro Championships presented by Continental Tire. And again, rolling into Barber Motorsports Park, of course, coming off that tremendous weekend at NOLA Motorsports Park just a couple of weekends ago where, to my surprise, but also delight, the USF Juniors drivers getting two green-to-checker events in. Very impressed with the field that we have this year. 26 drivers rolling out at NOLA to start off the 2024 season. It looks like we're going to have 27 here this coming weekend. A couple of adjustments in the program. The primary championship contenders all still in the fight. Well, except for one out of the top five. Let's have a look at the top 10 drivers in the championship points leading into Barber before we have a look at some of the moves we have right now. Then, of course, I have a couple interviews lined up here today. First and foremost with the driver who leads the points coming into Barber Motorsports Park from VRD Racing. That's Sebastian Weldon. 90 points on the total for him. 81 points for Liam McNeely from J. Howard Driver Development. So a 9-point advantage for Weldon coming in. I had a chance to talk to Sebastian when he got home from school today before heading out to Barber here this weekend. I also had a chance to a driver who will call this his home race, rookie in the USF Juniors program, Michael Succo Jr. from Birmingham, Alabama. His home race. He's only been racing for 2 years. Great story. Had a chance to chat with him as well. So again, Sebastian Weldon, Liam McNeely. P1 and P2 in the points. Pretty good advantage for both those drivers. Each got at least one win at NOLA. If you watch the events on USF Pro TV, a couple of victories for Weldon, one win and a pole position for Liam McNeely. They've got significant points, a 19-point lead right now on Max Taylor from VRD Racing. Ariel Elkin, part of a very impressive debut for Inter MS at NOLA. And they're going to be, I think, a factor here with a couple of very quick drivers coming out of the gate. Elkin, of course, out of Israel. A tremendous run for him, and I think really showed the pace that he has. And then rounding out the top five, Vinicius Tessaro, the rookie from Brazil, is one of those drivers we will not see this coming weekend. News coming out earlier in the week, last week actually, that Vinicius Tessaro was out at D-Force Racing. He would not be returning to the team here in 2024. In at D-Force, though, taking up that spot at D-Force Racing, Joshua Alianel, two times a runner-up in the Skip Barber Formula Race Series, partnering up with Skip Barber to join D-Force Racing. Sponsors as well, BTEC Turbines and TWFG Insurance. So really good to see Joshua Alianel get a chance to come and run in this series. I think those of you who kind of followed along with the action at NOLA know that the car was there. They had taken their car from VRD. The Skip Barber Racing Series was there. They had the car. They were trying to get it dialed in to get him out on the racetrack for the weekend. They elected to scuttle that effort and say, you know what? We're going to press the reset button and come back from Barber Motorsports Park. And of course they did with D-Force Racing, the team that really flat out dominated Barber last year, led by Nicholas Giafone. They had a tremendous weekend at Barber Motorsports last year, clearing out five of the six podium positions. So indeed, watch for them to be strong. Outside the top five, the one points coming in here from Exclusive Autosport, Jack Jeffers, three times a winner last year. He's currently sixth in points, tied with Tessaro. Now with Tessaro out, that essentially moves Jeffers up into that fifth spot, and he's only 12 points behind Ariel Elkin, but he's got work to do to get himself back to the front. Bruno Ribeiro from D-Force Racing, seventh in points. Augusto Soto Chiripa for Inter MS. Again, both of those drivers able to get into the top 10 after the opening round at NOLA Motorsports Park. Chiripa had a rougher weekend than Ariel Elkin, but showed some pretty good speed as well, so they'll be strong here this weekend. Zanella Racing, another one of the brand new programs, able to come into the top 10 when they left NOLA as well, with Leonardo Scorpioni leading that crew with a couple of solid finishes. And then last but not least, rounding out your top 10, an impressive young rookie who topped one of the sessions at the Fall Combine in Indianapolis last year, was good in the Academy Winter Series, and we expect to challenge for podiums and potentially even a race win this year. Evan Cooley wrapping up the top 10. So I mentioned the two drivers that in and out, Tessaro out and Joshua Alianel in at D-Force Racing, and also being told that Alex Popow was doing the best he could to be back with Zanella Racing, as he was able to put a last-minute deal together at NOLA Motorsports Park. Not able to get the funding together to make it to Barber Motorsports Park. Teddy Musella, a young driver who's been running in the Formula Fara Series, also ran in the initial F4 U.S. Championship event of the year at NOLA Motorsports Park. will be in for Zanella. So 27 drivers in total getting set to go. And again, as I said, championship just getting underway. Long way until we get to August and Portland International Raceway. But again, we got some great drivers in this program. One we're going to talk to right now. I'm going to jump in quickly to our interview with Sebastian Weldon from VRD Racing. From there, we'll go right into the chat I had with Michael Succo Jr. And when it's all said and done, we'll wrap up this preview for this weekend's Barber Motorsports Park event with the essential schedule we'll have for this two-day event, a Thursday-Friday event on that 2.3-mile, 17-turn road course. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is seeing whether or not anybody has anything for the qualifying record set last year, 125.738. First year with the Tatis JR23 car. And we'll see if anybody can go after Nicholas Giafone, your current qualifying race record. But again, let's get things underway. A couple of interviews in this particular edition of the podcast. Two young drivers in different paths, for sure. One with tons of karting experience, a second-generation driver, an incredible storyline there. And that is, of course, Sebastian Weldon. And after that, we'll talk with Michael Succo Jr. But again, we chatted today. Here's my interview with Sebastian Weldon. Well, Sebastian, thank you for taking the time to come on the USF Pro Insider podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob Howden.
All right, Sebastian, let's see. I've been covering you for through karting for the last number of years. So unlike a lot of people that are watching the sport and watching you through your journey up the ranks, potentially to the NTT IndyCar Series, you know, I know what you've done. I know a little bit more about your resume. But let's talk about, you know, you had lots of years in karting. You won a bunch of races. You developed through to the top level of national racing. But I kind of want to skip on that and go right into your jump into cars. You know, when did you make the first jump into cars? Was it with the Skip Barber program, or were you doing some testing in F4 before that?
So I first ever car hopped in, I drove USF 4 car and did a couple tests there just to get ready for the Skip Barber season. And yeah, I did a couple test days with Skip Barber before the season started. And yeah, it was pretty well.
Did you have to do that, like, or did you do the 3-day school, knowing you had so much experience in national level karting and junior karting? Did you do a 3-day, or did you just kind of jump right into lapping days?
So I did do a 3-day at Sonoma. Yeah.
So you got that first stuff in, right? Those first kind of initial learning days. Again, karting is one thing, but driving a car is the other. So when did you first drive the Skip Barber car? How old were you at that point?
So I was about, I think, 14 years old, just about 14.
Okay.
When I first hopped in the Skip Barber car, and I think my first time driving the F4 car for Skip Barber was probably in Road Atlanta VIR.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Yeah. Wow. VIR at Road Atlanta, some pretty heady racetracks for sure. Let's talk about your first car race. You know, I know one of the cool things I like about the Skip Barber program is that you're not allowed to have any contact at all on track. If you do have contact, you end up getting a drive-through penalty. And it's kind of, as a karting guy, I do it myself. I'm the same guy. I could get penalized too. We lean on each other a little bit, right, in karting. We always do that. You dive bomb, move up the inside. You give someone the side pod a little bit. But in Skip Barber, you can't touch each other. What was it like for you coming out of karting in that very first Skip Barber race?
So, yeah, I was obviously pretty nervous heading into my first ever race, especially like the speed difference from the karting and to the cars. But yeah, I really like how they do where you can't have to have contact, otherwise you have to have a drive-in penalty. And so we still had some really good racing the first race, and yeah, I felt like it was really good for me.
And you would go on to win the championship, but you know, you really, you know, there was a lot of guys that had race wins, right? Yourself, Jackson Bell, Joshua Leonel, Caleb Gaffera. It was a pretty tight field at the front there with drivers. Number one with a lot of karting experience, and other guys with some Formula Car and car experience as well.
Yeah, like I think Joshua, I think he's running the Barber round with us for juniors. So yeah, it was kind of cool to have one of my teammates from Skip Barber to race in the same series, and it felt like a fast championship, went by quickly, but just consistent finishes, and I was able to get the championship.
So you know, you get the championship, and obviously one of the big things, that the $100,000 scholarship that you win as a champion coming from Skip Barber into USF Juniors. But over and above the support, what, like, if you go back, what what were the big things that you learned? Like, what areas did you really learn on compared to coming out of karting? I think that's one of the key things for people to know about the Skip Barber program.
So, Skip Barber, they helped me with a lot of different things, like passing and like being able to like set the lap time, like say you're in qualifying, be able to set the lap time and have a benchmark lap time that you can really focus on.
Yeah.
And I think just like the basic fundamentals of what they taught you was, I think, a really good tool to bring on the rinks.
Well, you've obviously made it look good because you end up winning the championship there. Of course, as I said, with some really great racing consistency throughout the season, right? You're able to get the championship. Then you move into USF Juniors. You hook up with VRD Racing. We'll talk more about VRD later. But coming into the season, you know, you do some off-season testing with VRD in the USF Juniors car, the Tatus JR23. You did really well in the Academy Winter Series down at Homestead and Sebring. And then you roll into NOLA, and you were, you know, essentially, after Liam McNeely got the pole, you were kind of the driver to beat. You were right in the middle of the fight. Your cold tire laps were great. Were you surprised at all to score a couple of wins in the opening event?
Well, before heading into NOLA, I was just hoping, like, keep the car on track and, like, just stay out of trouble. And I obviously, from the preseason test, I felt like we had a good amount of pace. And I was able to just, I feel like it improved a little bit in the race weekend. But, yeah, I was just confident in myself, and I just, yeah, felt pretty good for me.
One of the interesting things, as I said, you know, you were able to get out into the lead in your two races, what you won, and were able to kind of get away a little bit, right? Because guys were battling behind you, but your laps, the speed you had on cold tires, the amount of corner speed you were rolling, the amount of throttle you had applied, was, I think, a little obviously better than everybody else. Is that something you guys have worked on? Have you worked on cold tire laps, like really pushing the limit coming out of the pits during a test session?
Yeah, definitely. That's one thing that Skip Barber has helped me a lot with, cold tires and running with those, you know, like harder compound tires that take a lot longer to get up to temperature. So I think that's also one big thing that they helped me with. And yeah, like, just it's crucial to get the tires heated on the out lap before the start of the race, just to have that advantage over everyone else.
That's it, man. You know, we've seen that many times in karting and in cars. You go out and get that kind of 2-3 second lead, get away from the draft, and then you can kind of maintain that pace and kind of walk away to the wins with is what you did. You end up being the point leader after NOLA coming into this weekend's event at Barber Motorsports Park, a 9-point lead over Liam McNeely, who had a strong weekend as well. One of the things that I want to touch on as well, because I think it's obviously key, you have a direct connection with Andretti Global, as we all know, and with, you know, with Michael Andretti, with Brian Herta. First off, let me ask you, how do or can they support you as a driver? You know, you're obviously within the family there. We know that. You have been for many years. What is it about being with them? What can they bring to you as a driver?
So, I love being a part of Andretti Global and what they have done for me and my brother. And I think it's a really big advantage over everyone else because I get to have IndyCar teammates to help me like understand like new things and like all about the car and like what I should do, when I should do it. And all the sponsors like Dan Towers from Gamebridge and helping me get to the highest road of open wheel.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting when I saw, I obviously loved the car when I first saw it with the Gamebridge sponsorship on the side of it, right? And then obviously seeing Colton Herta at Long Beach watching the race this weekend, the car looks exactly the same, right? Is there any pressure there? Like, you know what I mean? Like you have, I know you know Colton, but you've got the cars are looking the same. Any pressure having the team's big sponsor on the side of your car as well?
Well, I think it's really cool that me and Colton are able to share the same livery. I feel like that's something really special between my dad and obviously Brian. But overall, I think I'm just going to try to do my best. And I don't really think about that too much, to be honest. I just focus on doing the best that I can. And I think the results will come.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do, right? Because, you know, your name, you mentioned your dad already, and obviously connection with everybody at Andretti. So you're going to be under a bit of a microscope, but not so much a microscope where they're looking to see what you're doing, but they more want to support you, right? Race fans from around the world who followed your dad and have followed Andretti, the Andretti team, really want to support you in everything you do, for sure. After your wins at NOLA, did you get any specific phone calls? I saw that Michael Andretti tweeted a congratulations, but I'm sure the phone rang a couple of times with some of the crew. Who'd you talk to after your wins?
I definitely talked to my manager, Adrian Sussman. He helps me with all the different like options with like, he just helps me with everything about my racing career and nice. Is always there by my side. And so he gave me a phone call after, and I'm usually the one that's calling him 7 times a day. But yeah, that's probably.
So listen, so your brother Oliver's getting into the Skip Barber program as well. He's kind of following your lead through. What do you think about your mom, Susie, having to watch you guys race cars right now? Karting was one thing, right? But I know that she's kind of pacing. She always paces around, but she was, what do you think about her having to watch you run cars right now? How's that going so far?
Well, I think she's pretty excited that we moved on from karting and that we're both in cars now. So it's a bit easier from last year when I was doing Skip Barber and when he was doing karting. So yeah, exactly. I think she loves watching us and she wants us to do our best, and she's always cheering for us and always going to be there.
Yeah, 100%, dude. She's definitely Team Sebastian and Team Oliver, which I love to see, man. She's great to see her trackside. We mentioned some of your sponsors. We mentioned Andretti. We've talked about your mom as well. Let's talk about your team now. Because, listen, I believe that some race teams can fit one driver better than the other. Right? I talked to a lot of parents about the culture under every team, and your driver may not flourish in one culture and may not the other. How's the fit with you and Dan Mitchell and VRD Racing? Obviously, the success is already there, but do you feel like there's a good fit culture-wise for you there?
Yeah, I feel like I fit with the team well, and I really love what Jacob and Dan do for me and helping me be confident straight out of the gate in the new junior car and just helping me in all different ways. And, yeah, all my teammates like Max Taylor and Michael Succo, all running juniors, I think I can learn from all of them and we can all learn together on how to be faster.
You know, one of the things I find interesting, I used to teach skiing when I was younger, and everybody learns in kind of different ways, right? And I think a lot of times, depending on the coach you have or the team you're with, how do you learn? Are you a guy that wants to have everything like really detailed down, like, hey, I break it down how to do it and I'll do it? Or do you want somebody to show you and then, hey, listen, you show me, I'll be able to replicate it and get the feel? I think everybody learns a bit different.
I would say I'm probably a bit of both, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm really like, okay, how do I do this like really precisely? And like, just kind of depends like on what they're telling me to do. And I will try my best to do what they say.
But yeah, it sounds like you want that precise deal, right? You're like, tell me exactly how to make this happen and I'll do it.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, okay, so let's wrap this up then with a focus, of course, on Barber Motorsports Park. That's where we're going here this weekend. Drastically different racetrack than we had at NOLA Motorsports Park. NOLA, as we know, very flat. All the corners are really flat. Barber Motorsports Park, elevation changes galore, undulating, the Alabama roller coaster, a lot of high-speed commitment corners, the big downhill braking zone into 5. What do you think of the racetrack itself?
I think it's a really technical racetrack, with all like, you know, with all the banking, well, not banking, but elevation changes, yeah, and all the different, like, cause there's not really much straightaways to really pass on, to be honest. So the racing probably won't be the best there. So that's why it's important to have a good qualifying. But overall, I think the race should be pretty fun, as this is probably one of my favorite tracks.
It's been a while since we've had USF 2000, USF Pro 2000 there, but great to be able to have USF juniors there as well on an NTT IndyCar Series weekend, which I think is good. How much time do you have on the racetrack? Do you have a couple of days? I know they've had a couple official test days there.
So I did do a academy test day there. Okay. And yeah, the pace was pretty, I felt like it was pretty good. And yeah, I think we have a couple practice sessions on Thursday and a warm up on Friday before the race, but I think it should be enough time to have myself learn the track. And yeah.
So good thing of NOLA, you got the first win out of the way. Every young driver coming into USF Pro Championships wants to get that first win. You got 2 of those. You've got the point lead now heading to Barber. We know it's a long season still before we get to Portland at the end of August. Has the pressure changed at all compared to where you were when you came into NOLA? Do you put the pressure on yourself, but now that you're the point leader with a couple of wins, do you feel like things have changed? Do you feel like maybe you have that target on your back to a certain extent?
Yes and no. I think that as long as I do my best and just think about myself and continue to improve as a driver, I really think that I can come out on top if I just do my best and focus a lot on myself. And I wouldn't say I wouldn't have changed much, to be honest, just keeping focus and doing the best that I can.
And as I said before, this is an NTT IndyCar Series weekend. They're on track Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The second race of the doubleheader is right after, I think, their first practice session on Friday afternoon. So you're going to have that whole Andretti crew there we talked about, right, with Michael Andretti, with Brian Herta. Everybody else is going to be there. What's that going to feel? I think it's probably the first time that you've actually raced on the same weekend with them. Am I correct?
Yes. I feel like it's going to be definitely something special to able to and – Michael Andretti at Andretti Autosport. That'll be very Andretti Global. Sorry, will be something really special, and definitely Colton Herta and all of my other teammates. Well, not teammates yet, but all the Andretti IndyCar drivers there.
Well, the crazy thing is I know you already want to win, but does it make you want to win even a little bit more? Like, I've talked to a lot of the drivers, hey, what race down the road would you like to win at? You know, people look at Road America, oh, I want to win at Portland, you know, I want to be in the championship fight, but how important would it be to win here at Barber? And I know we're with IndyCar three different events with you guys, with USF Juniors, but coming out of the gate like this, would it mean just more, a little bit more, especially the NOLA, than winning here with the Andretti crew? No doubt in victory lane if it happened.
I definitely think so. To like just have all the IndyCar teams there to like, I'm sure they're probably going to watch a bit of the race, junior race. So. And yeah, it should be something really cool and something that will definitely be something really cool, obviously.
Yeah, it'll be a memory maker for sure. And it's going to happen in just a couple of days. It's Monday right now when we're doing this interview. We're not that far away from being on the racetrack on Thursday. Sebastian, I appreciate you taking the time after you wrapped up school and some training to have a chat with me here. And man, look forward to seeing you trackside.
Thank you, Rob Howden.
No doubt a fantastic opportunity to talk to a young driver who is, number one, a great story. Number two, could be one that we should be following over the next number of years. A lot of great people behind him, a lot of power out of Andretti Global, the sponsorship there as well, but a lot of talent as well. As I said, had a chance to follow Sebastian through his karting career, won a lot of races, and of course, coming off that Skip Barber Formula Race Series Championship, getting the scholarship to come to USF Juniors, I think he's definitely one that people will be watching, especially this weekend at Barber Motorsports Park when he has to essentially perform in front of all the big dogs in the IndyCar paddock. Let's go different. Let's go to the other side of the coin. Many, many years and a second generation story for Sebastian Weldon. Michael Succo Jr., who I'm going to talk to next, out of Birmingham, Alabama. This track, of course, Barber Motorsports Park, his home track. When you hear the story, it's going to intrigue you. Just got into the sport a couple of years ago, dove right in head first, and it's a drive to survive story, which is what I think one of the coolest things about it. Had a great chance to talk to him. It's going to be a big weekend for him at Barber Motorsports Park. His first opportunity to get on the racetrack at this home racetrack and actually go racing. Tons of time on the sim, but for the first time, he's going to go wheel to wheel at Barber in USF Juniors this weekend. Enjoy this, folks. Great interview with a young driver for VRD Racing. Well, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast. I appreciate it. Welcome to the USF Pro Insider.
Thank you. Really glad to be here.
Well, listen, I think one of the key things with this podcast is I really try to take the opportunity to give the young drivers, especially those of you coming in USF Juniors and new to this community, new to the ladder that you know rolls through to IndyCar, a chance to kind of for people to get to know you, talk about your story a little bit. Unlike so many drivers in the USF Juniors program and the whole Pro Championships, a lot of experience in karting, multiple years, right? 5, 6, 7 years of age, all the way through to where they are right now. You're a bit of a different story. How long have you been in the sport? Let's start with that. And what got you into racing?
So I've only been in the sport for about 2 years now. And I really just got into it When I was about 14 years old, I started watching kind of videos of Formula One and racing in general on YouTube.
Okay.
And then the Netflix, the Drive to Survive series came out, and my dad had showed that to me. And we began watching that, you know, together kind of as a family thing. And I just, you know, got hooked. I got really, really interested, you know, how do we get into this? Where's, you know, what's the first step as far as potentially, you know, going to Formula One? And, you know, we got in contact with some people. There's a young man named Michael Gay. He works at Barber Motorsports Park, actually, with the Porsche Driving Club. And he knew Eric Evans and Doug Evans, who is now racing in the British GT Championship in GT4. And they actually got us in a go-kart for the first time up at Atlanta Motorsports Park. So that was about, you know, 2 years ago now. I think it was my 16th birthday. I got in a four-stroke kart. And man, I thought it was the fastest thing in the world, you know.
I remember back to when I first started racing four-cycle karts up here in Canada. I'm like, this is the best. It's so fast, I can't believe it, right? I'm with you.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was intense. But yeah, the first day they had me up there, it was a really funny story actually. It was a little damp, and so they put me out on wet rain tires. And at this point, I know zero about racing. I mean, I know literally nothing. Okay. I knew there's a gas pedal and there's a brake pedal, and I can steer with the little wheel in front of me. So I go into, you know, a lap, and I'm driving decently. And we just continue like that for a couple more. And then I come out, and it starts to dry up a little bit, but the track's still cold. It's still damp. And so, you know, I'm like, I think it's dry enough for slick tires. And they're kind of hesitant at first, you know. But finally, we put the slick tires on. I go back out, and I didn't understand the concept of, you know, going into a corner with more speed probably means you need to brake a little bit sooner. Mm-hmm. I thought slick tires, more grip, I can brake later. And so I took that concept in my first lap and spun it backwards into a wall. I did like an axle or something like that. And dude, my ego was on the floor. I had no confidence. But, you know, we got back up. I came back the next day with the mindset of, if this doesn't go well, maybe this just isn't for me.
Oh my
goodness. We did a couple more laps the second day, and I was actually doing really good. I was only about a second off the top guys in four strokes. So I really surprised myself with that. And Eric and Doug. And so, you know, they got back in contact with us, and they were like, if you want to do more testing, Eric will be open to coaching you. And it kind of just branched off from there.
And isn't it interesting, Michael, that you go in with just, there's an interest in the sport, passion for the sport, but you jump in it for the first time without the adequate kind of a, you know, high level coaching where they're kind of walking you through everything. For you, it was all just doing it by feel, right? I'm out there. This is right. This is wrong. This doesn't work. This works, right?
And exactly.
So you tell me, then let me, so you're kind of figuring it out a little bit that you can't go that far into a corner. You can't break that late. What was it like when you and Eric started working together as a coach, him coaching you? How meteoric was your development? How, you know, you getting quicker with proper coaching.
Yeah, I mean, he was such an amazing coach. He really made it, you know, sped up the process so much for us, whereas normally I think by myself, it would have taken years and years to get to where I was. But he really went out there, and every single lap we had an objective. It wasn't like I was just driving, you know. He was teaching me how to brake late, when to get on throttle, how to roll speed, what all of that really meant as far as driving and as far as being really quick. And I mean, within no time, you know, my first couple of races, I was in the top five, top three podiums, things like that. So, yeah, I think absolutely without him, that, you know, really never would have happened.
Well, it's interesting, right? It's a lot of people I would talk to. It would be a 5 or 6 or 7 year process to get to where you are now, where your learning curve has been straight up the entire time. You do karting in that first year. Did you actually get into a car in that first year in 2022 when you first started into it?
I did not. No, okay. That entire first year was strictly four stroke. And then I did 2 months of two stroke before I got my first test.
So when did you first decide you were going to get in a car rather? And what was it that pushed you to get into a car so quickly and not maybe do more karting?
Well, you know, I really started to learn more about racing throughout that year and understood that, you know, I got into this really late. I didn't know that these kids are getting into it at 5 or 6 years old. Yeah. And so I sat down with Doug and I sat down with Eric and we kind of laid out a plan, you know, as far as where do I need to go to genuinely be successful in the sport. And one of those was moving quite rapidly into cars. Yeah. I'm not sure if you know or are familiar with a Noah Ping, but he did the same thing. He just started straight into cars.
Of course.
And so, you know, he started late like me. And so I started out at Atlanta Motorsports Park. I did a test in a Radical, an SR1, that was like limited to 60% throttle. And I had a coach on track kind of limiting our speed. Yep. But it gave me a really good sense of, you know, what's going on around me, you know, how to drive a race car, how fast, you know, the speed feels really on track. It was a completely different experience to anything I've ever done.
Indeed. Before. Yeah. I don't care if you're a top level Carter. You know, we talked to Sebastian Weldon about it on the show here too. And he said, when he first went to Skip Barber from junior karting, one of the first things he had to learn was just the sheer outright speed. Well, a kart feels really fast. A car is significantly faster, right? So there's always that different feel. So you go from karting, you get into the Radical. How do you end up hooking up with VRD Racing to fast forward to doing a ton of testing and then go from the Radical to an open wheel formula car at the start of the ladder towards IndyCar?
Yeah, so I got incredibly lucky that Doug and Eric, had previously raced with VRD. And so they got us in contact. And luckily, VRD was based at Atlanta Motorsports Park to do just a quick test. And so I went out for my first day in a formula car, and it genuinely blew my mind. I mean, it's not like the Radical. It's not like anything else. And I constantly say to people, if you can ever do a ride along in a two-seater formula car, or even if you could do an experience where you drive it yourself, it's something you have to do because it will blow your mind. And, you know, I got in for my first day and I was full tunnel vision, you know, braking crazy early. I had no clue what was going on. Didn't look in my mirrors once. I was focused forward, but it gave me a really good sense of what I was getting into and where this was going to go.
Yeah, and indeed, that's the beauty of this right now, because you are moving forward. And again, so you're 18 years of age right now. What we think we're going to be jumping into, and one of the reasons I talked about in the intro, is that, you know, this is your home race we're coming to. Barber Motorsports Park this weekend, Birmingham, Alabama. This is your track, right, to come into the event. Before we jump into that, let's talk about NOLA. Let's talk about your debut weekend. Well, actually, let's briefly talk about off-season testing, because you did do a significant amount of testing before you came to run your first race, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, we did
talk about that testing. What was the testing? Was it really intense in terms of working on certain segments and components of being a driver?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, every portion of it was intense. I did a lot of testing at AMP, and then we moved to different tracks. I did testing in Arizona. We did testing at Barber, NOLA, all across the country. I just needed to get as much seat time as I could to, you know, catch up with these kids who, like I said, have been doing it for years. They've been in cars, you know, for multiple years at this point. And I was just starting out. So I had to do as much as possible. And I started to get really quick. And our goal was, you know, if I was within 1 second or 1.5 seconds of the leader, that this could be viable, that this could be something that we genuinely, you know, could go into. And, you know, toward the end of testing, I had met that mark. I was within that 1.5, 1 second margin. And that really just gave me the confidence, you know, to continue to keep doing this. I knew that, you know, this is where I was meant to be.
Yeah, I understand completely. Now, just to add, do you add a sim component? Are you on iRacing? Are you on a simulator as well when you can't be in the car?
I am. I just recently got my simulator about a month ago. I'm on iRacing. I mainly do testing. I don't really do a lot of public races, mainly just testing with the guys, you know, learning the tracks and everything like that. Like I said, I just got it. So, but yeah, I mean, I've probably been on the simulator every day since I've got it.
Listen,
that's commitment. That's a massive portion of it.
Good for you. So let's talk about your debut at NOLA Motorsports Park, because obviously 67 drivers there, but I did my best to kind of focus on as much as I could and look at lap times. It feels to me like you improved essentially every time you hit the track. I went back and looked at some of your lap times. You kept getting quicker and quicker, where maybe the top guys weren't getting as faster because they have more experience. You were kind of getting further in leaps and bounds, and all told, you end up getting better in all three of your races, right? I think 22nd in the first race, 18th and 15th. The speed was getting there. Do you feel like it was an overall, you just kept getting better, that the motion was going in the right direction all weekend?
Yeah, you know, my mental coach that I've been working with, his name's Enzo Mucci, and our goal for the weekend was to learn. And he told me, you know, there's no real failure from the weekend as long as we learn. And I feel like I did that every single lap at NOLA. Like you said, the first race, 22nd, had a big off, went through the gravel. Second race, P18, had to avoid a crash. And then the third race, P15, I genuinely thought that was a good result. It was actually the last lap. I had no clue where I was as far as position. Yeah. I thought I was in last place. You know, I was kind of beating myself up. I come up onto a car into, I think it was 11 or 13. And I just sent it from like three car lengths back because I was like, what's the worst that can happen? I either, you know, DNF, crash into this guy and it's whatever, it's last place, or I make the move, I stick it and get another position. Come to find out, I was in 15th after that move. So, yeah, I mean, all three races, I had a lot of really, really great moves. I had a lot of lessons, and there was a lot to take away from. But like you said, I mean, the improvement over the entire weekend was really something to look back on and reflect on. I think it was really, really good. I really start to get a good feel for the car, understanding, you know, what it's supposed to feel like on a good lap, what it's supposed to feel like when you're not on a good lap, and things like that. So yeah, overall, I think it was really a great weekend, not only for me, but for the team as well.
I really like the mindset that that learning is the success, right? Because really this entire program, it's what it's all about. You know, if you win the championship, you win the scholarship. If you don't, you're just going to the next level anyways. You're staying one more year in the program. So if the success is marked by the fact that you're learning every time you roll onto the racetrack, that is a win-win situation all around. Overall, what grade would you give yourself from NOLA? If you could give yourself, you know, A, B, C, B plus, A plus, whatever, what kind of grade would you give yourself for your debut performance at NOLA?
You know, our kind of mindset as a team is anything but first place is kind of a loss. But I don't think I could give myself an A or an A plus or anything like that. But I think like a B or something like that. You know, we learned a lot. We didn't get the results that we wanted necessarily. But, you know, the overall takeaway from the weekend was positive. It wasn't a negative. So
I love it. I love it. And listen, you need to understand where you are in terms of your development, right? I would probably have given you an A for sure, just because I think you bring it home. Listen, you did the things I always want a young driver to do. You roll the car back on the trailer and every race, right? You keep getting better and better. You avoided crashes, which means you're heads up racing, which was key. And then you made some good moves. So I think all told, should be pretty happy with that. Now, let's wrap things up here now and put the focus on Barber Motorsports Park. Obviously, a big weekend for you, running your home track. First and foremost, have you ever driven competitively in an organized race at Barber yet?
No, actually. I haven't driven in any kind of race at Barber yet. You know, I've done a lot of laps. I've done a lot of ride-along laps. Obviously, you know, I live 20 minutes away from the track. So, I've never raced there.
Wow. So tell me this then, what's the Michael Succo fan club going to look like over the weekend?
I'll have a lot of friends from school. We'll have a lot of my, you know, parents, friends and things like that. But we're also having a lot of the sponsors come down, you know, it being my home race and all. Yeah. A lot of them are close, are locals. So we're having some of the Body Armor Penske guys come down, some of the Racing for Children's people. And the Marinos, who are close friends of mine, they own supermarkets throughout Alabama. They're coming down as well.
I was going to say, great opportunity for kind of give a shout out to your sponsors here. You mentioned them there. Are there any others on the docket that you have that to help make it happen for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've got, you know, Body Armor Racing for Children's and the Marinos at the moment. We're looking to branch out. We're talking to some people right now. But at the moment, those are the three confirmed to be on the car for Barbara.
All right, so what are the goals? What's a good weekend for Michael Succo at Barber this weekend here? Is it going to be just all about learning and about getting better and better? You know, obviously you haven't had a chance to race this track before, so there's a couple drivers who have raced there before. You've had a chance to test there. What's a good weekend for you?
You know, Barber being my home track and all, it's also my favorite track. I've done the most amount of sim testing on that track. You know, even since I was younger and I just had like a keyboard or something on a set of Corsa, I had downloaded the track from a mod, and I would just do laps and laps and laps constantly and constantly. You know, I probably have, you know, racked up a couple thousand at this point, but I think, you know, overall my pace during testing was really good as well. You know, we didn't have the times from the other cars, but, you know, based on my teammates' time, I really wasn't that far off at all. I'm feeling really, really confident for the weekend. You know, I know what I need to do. I know what the team wants me to do. And overall, we're looking for, you know, at least a top 10 result in one of the two races. That would be something to take away from, be really proud of. But, you know, there's no better feeling than winning. So,
yeah, I get that for sure. But again, you're doing exactly what you need to do in terms of development as a driver. 17th in points coming in. I remember 26 drivers all told. We may even get another new driver coming into the event this coming weekend at Barber Motorsports Park. Top finish of 15th, as I said, for Michael at NOLA Motorsports Park, the opening round. Michael, people are going to want to follow you on social media. What do you got? What are you using for social media? What are the handles on the accounts that you leverage?
So right now, if anybody's looking to follow me, it should just be at Michael_Suko on Instagram.
There it is. An IG guy. I get that. Fantastic. Well, Michael, listen, best of luck to you. Great to have you in the USF Juniors program. Definitely a different story for me to talk about during my commentary. You've packed so much into a couple of years, only now into your third year of racing. And again, thinking about the quality and the depth of the 26 drivers at NOLA Motorsports Park at the opener for USF Juniors. Again, to come away 17th in points, to bring that car back, you know, drive it back to the paddock every time. I think that is a huge thing for you. Congratulations on a great start to the season. And man, looking forward to being with you at your home track, man. Any restaurant recommendations for somebody who's obviously a local?
There's actually some great ones really close in my old neighborhood. Let me just take a look really quickly. Oh, I have to see the names. Oh, man. There's some really, really good ones right close to my house.
Well, listen, we'll do it online because I'd rather not everybody know. I don't want to go in there.
Gotcha.
You know, there's a big lineup because you've told everybody on the podcast where to go for dinner. Let's just keep it quiet, right? Michael, Sounds good. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you joining me on the podcast.
Thanks, Rob. Great speaking with you.
There he is, folks. Michael Suko out of Birmingham, Alabama, local racer this weekend at Barber Motorsports Park. It'll be a big win for him for sure. Looking forward to seeing how he does when we get down to Alabama. Really enjoyed that opportunity to chat with Michael about, you know, of course, his career thus far, a couple of years in into his third year of racing, and now going to get an opportunity to come and run at his home track, Barber Motorsports Park, right? This is, I think, just a fantastic story. We'll be watching him throughout the entire weekend as we head to the Augusta of Motorsports, Barber Motorsports Park, for round 4 and 5 of the series this coming weekend. Again, this 2.3-mile, 17-turn road course, undulating, as we know, the Alabama roller coaster, the run down to turn 5, Charlotte's Web, the high-commitment left-right corners in the back part of the racetrack. There is so much that you need to have right to win at this track, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see who kind of steps up and ends up being the players when it's all said and done. Obviously, one of the keys to any racing weekend is the weather we're going to have. Based on what I'm looking at here right now, likely cloudy. We're going to see temps anywhere, very likely in the high 70s to low 80s. When we go racing on Thursday and Friday, it could be a little bit cooler in the morning. And as you know, we often do start a little bit early. So here is a schedule here right now. The Thursday, actually, we're on track 11 o'clock for our first of two test sessions for USF Juniors, one at 11, one at 12:50. From there, official practice at 2:45 on Thursday afternoon. Qualifying split into two groups like we did at NOLA Motorsports Park, 4:15. We'll start that split qualifying session, and then that will set things up for the next day. Unusually, we're going to get a 7:30 in the morning warm-up session. And I mentioned the fact that we do start early sometimes. It could be cooler on Friday morning, but indeed, a 7:30 a.m. warm-up session. Then a couple of races, one at 10 o'clock and one that I love, 4:15, right after IndyCar practice on Friday afternoon. Autograph session as well in our series paddock at 2 o'clock on Friday. So we're going to jam a lot into a couple of days for these USF Juniors. But the bottom line is they're going to get an opportunity to race at an NTT IndyCar Series event. The paddock can be watching for the future stars of that program on Friday with that event right after the IndyCar practice. We hope to have some stragglers hanging around there on pit lane watching what these young drivers will do. We know some Andretti folk are going to be watching Sebastian Weldon, but there are a lot of really good drivers in USF Juniors that could find themselves working their way up all the way through this Road to Indy program into the NTT IndyCar Series. Again, as you know, folks, if you're not able to be trackside, follow all the social media for USF Pro Championships presented by Continental Tire. USF Pro TV will have the coverage of both main events. That'll be what we're going to stream this weekend, just the main events, the races themselves on Friday. So, indeed, watch that, as you know, on the YouTube channel. And if you have not yet downloaded the USF Pro Championships app, do that. Everything on there, wherever you are. Live timing, live broadcast, my podcast, all the episodes of The Climb, our documentary series is on there as well. So download the app. It's exactly what you need to follow the series from start to finish. That caps off this edition, folks. Episode 59 of the USF Pro Insider. It's Monday, April 22nd, as I said from the start of the show. I leave Wednesday morning, heading down to Birmingham, Alabama, and Barber Motorsports Park. Looking forward to getting back to the Augusta of Motorsports. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, folks. Big thank you to Sebastian Weldon and Michael Succo for joining me on this episode. My name's Rob Howden. Bye for now.